So for those of you that don't know Auntie Leslie, she is an incredible woman. she's why we're here. She's Andrew's mom. And I just heard this morning, Auntie Leslie waking up in the pitch dark in Somerset West to drive an hour to get here, hour and a half to get here, because she didn't want to miss out. You know, the Bible speaks about devoted saints, you know. And here's Auntie Leslie, which she, in her 40s, full of life, but running for Jesus and didn't want to miss out. But she's actually going in for operation this week and won't be with us for about 4 weeks, just recovering. And I'd love for us just to pray with her, you know, just as she goes. But just want to highlight the dedication, you know, coming through and driving on her own all the way through. So can we stretch our hands out? Can we, those that are around her, Corin, can I ask you to pray for Auntie Leslie? Thanks.
Just want to stand by you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for Auntie Leslie and just the love that she's poured out in all of us and what a blessing she is. And we just want to commit the surgery to you, Lord God, that we know that she is under your care, that that you will discard the surgeon's hands, Lord God, and that it will be skillfully done and what needs to be remedied and corrected will be done, Lord. We pray for her recovery, Father God, that you would help her body to be strong. And we pray that you would surround her with people who will love on her, tend to her needs, Lord God, and that your very presence will be with her. So we just thank you for her now in Jesus' name.
I often marvel at how the Lord, you know, God's obviously, and you guys can see it from last week, just preaching about the building as we are a building, we are a field, we are a house of God. And if you weren't here last week, I would encourage you, go listen to the preach of last week, because I'm actually building off that preach this morning about how God builds his house and how God loves his house. And it's important how we build God's house. You know, Moses was one of those guys that built, and he built in such a way because the Lord says, so that I can make my dwelling within them and with them. And that's our hearts. We want God to be with us. Amen? Isn't that why we're here? God with us, you know, Emmanuel. That's why Jesus came, so that we can be reconciled to him through the church. And that's why the church is here. And how we build church is very, very important. How we build is one of the most important things. And last week, I laid quite a thick foundation or an intro into this preach, talking actually about deacons and the roles of deacons in our church and in our local church. So again, I don't want you guys to switch off. You might go, well, I'm not a deacon, or what's a deacon? You know, so you're going to find out what a deacon is today. But to understand the why again is so that we can realize the way we build church, how we do it, the pattern that God has put out for his church is important. Because it's his. It's his. It's not mine. It's not Andrew's. It's not any. It's his. You belong to him. You are his church. And we have been given a charge to make sure that how we do things will honor him and will glorify him above all else. So that's what James said this morning. We are careful to follow the Lord. We don't just want to do our own thing. I don't just come up with a preach or we draw little, you know, lots every Tuesday to go, what are we preaching today? You know, it's like, no, it's a weighty thing. It's God's. You belong to him. And the responsibility on us as leaders is very high. And God has put leaders in place. The way that he wants to build is important. So again, go listen to last week's preach. If you haven't, go on to joshgen.co.za. There's a thing that says resources. Andrew in the early days would always punt his own CDs. He would go, hey, go buy my CD. Who remembers those days? You know, CDs. For those that you are young, a CD is a round little disc that you put into a CD player. Ivan's still got a lot of CDs and DVDs. So, But and so I'm not promoting my preachers at all. But just for us to understand what God is doing, God is building his church. And God's building his church here in Melkbos. We are part of that church. We are that gold, silver, precious stones that the Lord uses to build. And every single one of you, like I said last week, matters. Everyone matters. Everyone. Just this picture of Auntie Leslie. Auntie Leslie matters. Doesn't mean that you don't matter, but every single one of us matters. And for us to understand that, that you've got a part to play, it's not by chance that you are here. So as we look at this thing about deacons, my prayer is that we understand the why this is so important. And maybe quickly, Karen, Nadine, can you guys quickly come share just some of the words that popped out this morning? I just thought about it now. I'll go, Karen, go first and then Nadine, just in light of this and before I jump into the preach.
So I just, during the prayer time, I had a picture of a wound being cauterized. And I was just thinking that's the power of God's word. It's not just a pretty thing to read, but there is power in the word. It's what helps wounds get healed. It helps stop the bleeding. And in order for us to heal, we have to allow God's word to do its work within us so that we can heal and be strong in him and allow his life to flow through us.
Amen. And just on that, you know, even this morning, we're talking about deacons. And I think I mentioned it last week. For us as Melkbos, there's been a crack in the way that we understand deacons and the role of deacons. Even as elders, I said last week, we've repented many times and said we understood it wrong. We've understood the way and what a role of a deacon is and the value of a deacon wrong. As I've been diving in now for the last 3-4 weeks, looking at this thing about deacons, I've realized, Lord, I've viewed it wrong. Because in our heads, in our Western society, what do? We create ladders. Don't you want to, I'm going to climb the ladder of success. So obviously, the apostle is like the man of God right at the top, you know, that's how we think. And then, okay, if I can't be an apostle, I want to be an elder. Well, if I can't be an elder, I'll just be a deacon. If I can't be a deacon, I'll be a home group leader. No, that's the wrong thinking. That's our Western culture thinking. God doesn't think that way. God doesn't build that way. The Bible says we are equal, but we've got different roles to play. And as each one does his part, it's important. That's why that, what Corinne is saying, the word is going to come this morning and it might cauterize, it might burn. And that's not a pretty thing. Who's ever cauterized the wound? Ask those medical. It's a messy, bloody affair. You know, it's not nice. But what happens is there's actually healing that comes because of that. And it's actually building. Am I right? Not. Ilse is going, don't go there. Okay.
I had a very similar picture, but especially on Nene's word, I felt in worship, there's so many people who is like worshiping, but they dress like God is preparing his church and he's preparing his bride. And their dress feels a little uncomfortable and they're not completely comfortable where they're at. And I felt God say, it's because of godly ambition that he's called some people here to go further, to reach further than they are currently, and then just don't feel fit, they fit right. And I feel like today's word is going to be very specific on how he can adjust things so that you can fit right.
Very good. Amen. It's very good. Amen. I like it. Glory. Jesus is Lord. So he is. He is Lord. So let's dive back in. So listen to last week's preach if you need more context about building. But this morning, we're going to get in the trenches and we're going to build a bit. So I want to start off and kick off again with Acts 6, which is the scripture that we're using to look at this moment in the life of the church where deacons was born, if I can put it that way. This is the moment where something happened and deacons was set apart or set into office, which we'll look at later. And then, a disclaimer, I don't know if I'm going to finish. Okay, so I'm putting that here. So I'm going to try and keep, you know, there's two ways. So what I want to look at this morning is obviously just the aspect of deacons. Where does it come from? How does it fit in the life of the church? And then there's two things. We want to look at the qualifications of deacons. Because deacons isn't just a, hey, you do something cool, you become a deacon. No. Deacons, they have to be men and women that are qualified. There's certain characteristics and character traits that we look for those men and women, like elders, because they're in a position of leadership. And we look at those qualifications of a deacon. And we're going to look at that this morning. And then if there's time, I want to look at the roles of deacons. What a deacon does. What do they do within us? And that's going to be an important one, because I think that's where a lot of our thinking has gone astray with, like, well, the deacons are just those that serve. You know, like I said last week, they're just servants. Bible says we're all servants. Jesus was a servant, you know? So there's different things that we have to look at to look at that. So let's start again with our scripture in Acts 6, verse 1 to 7. And it says, now in these days, and those days were just after the Holy Spirit was poured out, many got saved. The Bible actually said 3,000 people were added in one day to the church. And in those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So all of a sudden, there's life, people are getting added, and what happens? There's something that happens, a moment where the group of Hellenists, so Hellenists, just to quickly tell you who they were, is they were Greek-speaking Jews, and Hebrews were Hebrew-speaking Jews. So when the Jews were scattered, the Hellenists went into the Gentile nations, and they actually speak Greek, and those were the Hellenists. So they were all Jews, but can you see the little difference? We are all South Africans. Are there different nations within South Africa, or different cultures, or different ethnic groups? What happens when those people get together? Even in the church of God, and even in the church, there's a bit of differences. Why do you guys do that and you don't do that for us? This is what happened there. So nothing new. It happens in church today as well. So we see there that the Hellenists rose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned, so that 12 was the 12 apostles that Jesus, just after Jesus died, they summoned the whole number of disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. A moment in the life of the church where the devil came in, trying to divide, trying to bring divisions, and you see a moment where 7 men was chosen to not wait on tables, although that is part of it, but they came in, and they actually brought and took the church further into what God wants them to do. So deacons are those that has got a high calling upon their lives. They changed the trajectory of the church on that day. You realize that? The church was going one way. The devil obviously wasn't stoked or happy. I always use that word. He's not happy with when the church grows and multiplies and being added. And he wanted to come in and bring a division. God had different plans. And it's incredible to think and to see that actually deacons were the ones that led the church through its first crisis. Isn't that incredible? The deacons, not the elders, not the apostles, the deacons led the church, took them from this place of division, of just this noise that the devil wanted to bring in. And they brought them through into a fullness. And what does it say at the end here? In verse 7, and the church multiplied greatly because of that. So for us to understand the role of the deacon, we've got to renew our minds. The Bible speaks of renewing our minds. The way we think or thought of something, we've got to come and renew it and go, Lord, let your word wash over us. Let your word cauterize. Let your word sometimes cut out things that are not of you so that we can know your ways and that we can build and become that bride that John, Nadine is talking about, that pure and spotless bride. Because everything that's not of Jesus in us is filthy and is dirty. So this is why this is so important. So to firstly put what is a deacon and what was their primary role, deacons were those that were leaders, not doers. Can you see that? They led the church through everything. The deacons served primarily as leaders and not just the doers. Because we can get into this thing where we go, they're the ones that do everything. And that's what I want to tweak this morning within us. That's that adjustment in our dress this morning that God wants to do. So in Acts 6 verse 3, it says, but carefully select among you, brothers, seven men who are well assessed, were tested, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we may put in charge of the necessary task. That's the New English translation. And I love that translation where it says that word put in charge. Because that's what deacons are. You put them in charge of certain things. Because they, and we'll see now why, because they are men that are faithful, women that are faithful. And that word put in charge is a word katastesumen. Don't try and pronounce it. I've did it once, I'm not doing it again, okay? That Greek word, if you want to go look it up, that phrase put in charge, we actually see it where Jesus mentions about this in two parables. And I want us to quickly look at those two parables because it gives us a very good picture of what that means to be put in charge. The first one is in Matthew 24, verse 45 to 47. And if you go read the context of this, is actually Jesus talking about the end times. And he's saying in the end days, this is what's going to happen. But then it's almost like Jesus quickly flips over to this portion where it says in verse 45, it says, who then is the faithful and wise servant who the master has put in charge? There's that phrase, the same phrase that was in Acts. They put them in charge over the situation of the Hellenists and the Hebrews. Put in charge in his household to give them food at the proper time. Very interesting that Jesus said that. And look what the whole thing was in Acts. They were saying, hey, you guys aren't giving the widows their food in their time. Like, there's a bit of a discrimination here. So the parallel just between those two. And then Jesus goes on and he says, it will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. And I tell you the truth, he will be put in charge of all his possessions. Isn't that incredible? Jesus going, those that he's put in charge, if you are faithful and you're doing what God wants you to do, if Jesus comes back and he finds you doing the thing that he called you to do, each one of us, he will put you in charge of even more. All his possessions. Matthew 25. This is that parable where Jesus spoke and he spoke about the talents, the coins. He gave one coin, another one two, another one five. And I think, yeah, that was those three. And then Jesus picks up, obviously coming back, the master coming back to see what happened. And it says his master replied to the one that multiplied the coins. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. And how many of you have heard that phrase? How many of you want to hear that phrase one day? I know I live my life and I just like, please, can I hear that one day? Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Faithfulness. Faithfulness of being in charge is important in the eyes of God. And look at this. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Isn't that incredible? Can you imagine on that day, where we share in Jesus' happiness. What is that going to look like? What is that? But there's this thing about deacons being put in charge, being in a place of following what God wants them to do and taking charge and leading in certain areas in the life of the church. Paul writes, and he promises to the deacons, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 13, it says, those who have served well, this is, and we're going to get back to the scripture again, but this is why Paul said this. He says, those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. And he's talking to deacons there. So again, we see this picture of deacons serving, laying down their lives, being put in charge, and understanding that it's not just guys that make the coffee and tea, put out the chairs, something needs to happen, they do it. No, there are men and women that have been put in charge of service and of serving the kingdom and the bride of Christ. The word here implies that those that have been put in charge, have you ever heard of that phrase, the office in a church? There's an office. You know, we get actually four offices in the Bible that speaks about the offices in the kingdom of God. The one is an apostolic office. Those that build, like Paul was in an apostolic office. He built the church. He knew what he was doing. We get a prophetic office. Those people that is just a little bit more gifted than the rest of us, because all of us can prophesy. We learned that from Milani. But there's some people that can tell you what you had for breakfast and, you know, what color underpants you've got on. You know, those guys are a little bit different, you know. So that's an office of a prophet, you know. So if those guys walk in the room, I always go, Lord Jesus, is everything fine in my life? Is there any sin in my life that I need to repent of? Not that I'm scared of it, but you know what I mean. There's the office of a prophet. And then the Bible speaks about two other offices. The one is eldership, elders, and the other one is deacons. And it's because it's all to do about leading and being put in charge. And, you know, and this is a great, I think, picture for us, or just the way that someone explained it. He said, an office is a God-given responsibility to administer and build his house. So do you see the difference from what we thought a deacon of, just being these doers? It's someone that's been put in charge to administer and build God's house. You see how your thoughts of a deacon is quickly changing. And even for us as elders, the danger for us is to go, we can do everything. Because elders by nature of those guys that set the direction of the church, that want to make sure everything is right. But we can actually hinder what God wants to do if we don't allow the deacons to fulfill their role that they have been called to. So it's a weighty thing. Can you guys feel there's a bit of a shift? A healthy deacon team is a healthy church. Last week I spoke about that wall. You know, the foundation was cracked and the wall from our swimming pool broke. And, you know, the danger was the house is unstable and it's actually dangerous for people to be in. Like, I don't want my kids to come close to that area where that wall was super loose. I could literally push that wall over with my hand. That's how unstable it was. And who wants to be in a church like that? Deacons are those that bring stability in the house of God. Stable, healthy. And a deacon team is one of the most important ingredients that God chose to build his house. Now, I use that word ingredient quite specifically because there's many things that build God's house. You are part of the ingredients that God used to build his house. Again, don't get this hierarchical thinking going in our minds, if that's the right word. My wife would have probably tuned me, it's not the right word. But you know what I mean. It sounds, yeah, for Afrikaans guy, that's quite a big word. Don't get that thinking in your mind that, oh, I'm just a saint. No, I want to, like, if I'm an elder, I'm going to be something. If I'm a deacon, I'm going to be, if I'm an apostle, if I'm a prophet, if I'm an, no. God, what have you put inside of me? And how do I build your church with what you have called me to be? Each one does his part, and we're going to get to that now. So we see here that deacons are those, it's a team of leaders overseeing the service in the master's house. And that's the phrase, they oversee what needs to happen in the master's house. They oversee the serving in God's house. Kids church, youth, coffee and tea, setup, whatever it is, prayer, communities. They are those men and women full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, that oversee the service in God's house. It's a high calling, high calling. Secondly, before we get to qualifications, deacon serve, yes, deacon serve. The word deacon, diakonos, is servant. Deacon serve, but everyone serves. Everyone serves. If you've got a healthy deacon team, the worst thing that can happen is that they do everything. Worst thing. Because look at what deacons, and we're going to look at the roles of deacons very soon and how they bring people alongside, how they lead people in serving and bringing them with. They don't just do everything, but all of us need to serve. And I think this is where that whole confusion has come around for the aspect of deacons. This is where the things come, but they're the guys that serve. Why should we do, you know, have you ever thought of that? Don't put up your hand if you have. why must I come pack out those servant guys, those guys that pack our chairs and set up sound and, you know? No, it's wrong thinking. So let's see what the Bible says about this. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it says, as each has received a gift. Do you know that you received a gift? The day, even before you were saved, when God formed you, He knew you before He formed you in your mother's womb. He says, I'm putting something on that guy's life. James, I'm putting leadership. There's a gift of leadership on your life. For some, there's a gift of administration. Phil is not here this morning. That man has got a gift of administration for God's church. For some, it's a gift of hospitality. My wife is someone like that. She just wants to bake every day and get people in our home and cost me a lot of money, but I go, it's a gift that the Lord give her. So how do I, like, Lord, you got to supply my, you know? It's a gift of hospitality. Many of you here have got that gift. Some a gift of serving, of just laying down your life and not deacon, but you love it. You're like, hey, I'm the first. Reynold, where's Reynold? That guy's got a gift of serving on his life. He loves it. And I'm not pointing you out so that you can do everything. So don't ask him to do anything more. He's doing a lot already, you know. But all of us serve as each one has a gift, the Bible speaks. Use it. Here's the thing. So use your gift to do what? To serve one another. Whatever your gift is, it's not there to go, cool, I've got my gift. I'm going to go play with my gift in my room where no one can see it, where I can keep it safe. I'm just going to hide my gift, your talent that the Lord gave you. I'm just going to hide it because I want to make sure it's good when He comes back, I can give it back to Him. No ways. God says, use your gift to serve one another. Multiply your gift. Multiply the talents God has put within you. Stir it up, the Bible says, because your life matters. What you do matters. And how you serve us matters. Not to us, to Him and to us. So the gift you have received, serve one another as a good steward of God's varied grace. Mark 10, Jesus, this is Jesus. In Mark 10, verse 45, it says, for even the Son of Man, and I want to say it again, even the Son of Man, who are we not to be like Him? For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Are you serving? Are you serving in the house of God? Or do you come here and you sit on a chair and you receive every Sunday? Be careful. God has given you a gift. Serve His church. serve him with it. And let's do it together. It's fun. Trust me. Like we've done it for years. When we do it, when we step into that realm of, God, my life is not my own. I want to live for you. I want to serve your church. That's a lot of fun. We're not doing it for a paycheck. None of us are. We're doing it because we love his church and we want to see his bride become pure and spotless. Find the gift that the Lord has given in you and serve one another with it. And he gave his life as a ransom for many. Jesus serves. That word, diakonos. Jesus was the first deacon. He came and modeled serving to us, washing his disciples' feet. He says, now you go and do the same. Serve the body. No one's greater. He is the greatest. Even Jesus said, don't call me the great one. God is great. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Even Jesus, everything he did, laying it at the Father's feet and saying, it's yours, God. How do I serve you? So we see the uniqueness of the call to be a deacon is not to serve, but it's leading in the serving, and it's to take charge of it. Serving well is not a qualification. I'm going to say that again. Serving well is not a qualification to become a deacon, because all of us need to serve well. We all need to serve well. Whatever that is, serve well. And I think that's, you know, we look at, you can think now, if you look around the room and you can pick out some guys that are serving well. I want to say 50% of them will probably never become a deacon. So that's not what God has for them. But they serve well and they live their life to glorify their Father in heaven. So just to help us with the illustration, and again, I want us to catch the heart, just this illustration of, and I tried to find a good illustration, but this is the only one that sort of came to my mind. You know, for us to see deacons properly, to understand it, luckily we South Africans, rugby is our number one sport for many of us. We understand rugby. There's a lot of analogies you can use in rugby for building church, you know. I'm not going to go down that road. Where's Johan? Oh, he's left. Okay, he would have liked that. Sorry, missed out, Johan. Johan is probably the best high school coach in the country. But he missed it out. Don't tell him, eh? Don't tell him. but cricket. We as South Africans, we understand cricket. It used to be a five-day. No one wants to watch a five-day anymore. No one wants to even watch a one-day. It's like T20. What is it? But this analogy of cricket. Do you know that a captain of a cricket team gets chosen by the selectors and by the team themselves? They look at the captain, they understand, he understands cricket quite well, he knows what needs to be done. The selectors look at him and go, there's something special, he can lead the team on the field. And once they're on that field, do you know that the captain makes the calls? He doesn't have a little radio that goes, okay, what do I do now? What do I do? Where do I put people? No. He's on the field making the calls. And that, for me, is a picture of a deacon. On the field, busy in God's house, busy building, busy going, making calls, understanding what needs to be done, leading people in the service, not just doing it themselves, but bringing people alongside and going, come look, let's do this together. Captains of those that are serving. And again, it's not that hierarchical thinking. Don't get that. Just a different role that God has placed within his church. I'm almost sensing now, like as I've been speaking, some of you have actually been stirred. That word that Nadine brought. Some of you should have been deacons already. But because of a misunderstanding of what it is, sort of just step back and not allowed the gift that God has got for you to come to fullness. And I feel as I'm talking, just repent. Just say, Lord, stir up that gift within me. Stir up that calling. For some of you here, you've been called a high calling, the office of a deacon. Start living that way. And we'll look at that now. So understanding the high calling of a deacon, we need to understand that there's certain qualifications for deacons. And your time is gone, Lord Jesus. I didn't want to go, so. Okay, I'm going to end with this. So when I say I'm going to end with this, there's going to be a couple of things I'm going to talk about. I'm not ending with this last verse, okay? Just clarifying, okay? I'm coming in. Like the plane is, we're not cruising, we're doing this now. Who of you have flown in a plane? It takes at least half an hour to land that plane, you know? So not going to be half an hour, okay? But I'm coming in for a landing. Okay. What I realized is we need to look at the qualifications of deacons to understand the role that I'm going to speak with. And I just mentioned to you guys the roles. Deacons fight for unity. That's one of their main roles. And we're going to unpack that probably next week. Deacons mobilize the church. And then deacons set the spiritual temperature of church. Okay, yeah, write these down. This is that little what's going to happen next week. Deacons fight for unity in the church. Deacons mobilize the church, and deacons set the spiritual temperature in church. That's the role of a deacon. And I'm going to unpack it and show you in the Bible how we get to that. So you see this concept of deacons aren't just doers. Deacons have got a high calling, leaders within God's church. So coming back, and I think this is what I want to end with, is just the qualifications of a deacon. For us to understand why it's such a high calling. Paul wrote in two places, qualifications for elders. He wrote in Timothy, he told Timothy, he said, Timothy, go and put in place the things that are lacking within the churches. Paul even wrote to the Philippians and he says, I'm writing to you saints and elders and deacons within us. And we're going to look at that next week in Philippians 1 verse 1. So you see this picture of putting deacons in place, but he writes the qualifications. What kind of person is an elder and what kind of person is a deacon? You know that God is more interested in your character than what he is in what you do for him. Your character is what counts. Your quirks, your little things you do, the little who where no one sees what you're doing, that matters. I always say, your character is who you are when no one sees what you're doing. That's your character. And the qualifications for an elder and a deacon is clearly set out because it's men and women that need to be able, people need to be able to follow you, follow them. Elders, and again, I'm not unpacking this. We just did This Is Church, that video series. And if you want to find more, Andrew does an incredible thing on around eldership and elders, who they are. So I'm not going there because I want to look at deacons. And you'll pick up that I'm saying men and women are deacons. And I'll unpack that for us now. And the difference between an elder and a deacon and why you can get women as deacons. And actually the Bible speaks about Phoebe, who is a deacon. And I'll show that to you guys. So don't get lost with that. But let's look at 1 Timothy 3, verse 8 to 13 in the ESV translation. Can you do the other translation for me? Yeah, the ESV. So there, Paul writes in Timothy, he just gave the qualifications for an elder. And if you want to go read those qualifications, very similar to deacons. There's one or two differences, which is important to understand, but I'm not going to go into that now. But deacons, likewise, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. I'm going to unpack these now. And let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives, likewise, so this is where there's a bit of a, from history side, there's two ways that they've written it. Their wives is the one translation, but no one can pin down the actual word that they use there. Some translation says woman likewise, the woman likewise, which basically implies woman deacons. but also the wives of deacons. So it's this ambiguity. And then because of Phoebe, which Paul clearly says she's a deacon in the life of church, there is a lot of theologians lean towards not their wives, but women likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Is there another scripture? Yeah. And then let deacons each be the husband of one wife. I've always said to my wife, elders also must be the husband of one wife. So I don't know what the Lord meant by that. So obviously back then they had more than one wife, which I go, why did you do that, bro? Like, that's not clever, you know? Like, who's got one wife at the moment? If you've got two wives, don't put up your hand. Because that's a whole nother discussion. But okay, obviously back then it was a thing, you know? Deacons, husband of one wife, managing their children and their own household well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So we can see here certain characteristics or qualifications that deacons need to have. And I'm going to go through them fast, but not to just brush over it. Just for time's sake, I want to finish with this well today. But we looked at that first one, dignified. It basically means, it refers to something that is honorable, respectable, esteemed, or worthy, and is closely related to respectable, which an elder needs to be. An elder needs to be respectable. There needs to be a sense of like, I respect that person. Not because they're special, but if you look at the way of their life, I can follow them. They've actually had impact in my life. There's a respect that comes. And in the same way, that dignity, a deacon needs to be have dignity in their life. Honorable, esteemed, worthy. The second one is not double-tongued. There's an old Western movie, and it says, white man with a forked tongue. Well, obviously the Indian guy said it, you know? And that's the picture of that, double-tongued. Can't say one thing here, but something else there. Your yes is your yes, and your no is your no. There's a truthfulness. There's someone, if you speak to them, there's no variation, there's no shadow. What they say is what they mean. You understand that concept of not double tongued. Basically, someone that doesn't lie, someone that means what they say, and their words have got power in them. Not addicted to much wine. Okay, the Bible does say, do not get drunk. Very clear. Bible doesn't say don't drink anything. Jesus turned water into wine. Okay? And I'm not going to go down this road now. If you've got questions, please come speak to me or to one of the elders. Actually, speak to Ivan and to James. No, I'm joking. But it is something we got to understand. Alcohol is not this thing that is said, do not drink. Jesus never said that. Jesus said, do not get drunk with wine. Paul even wrote to Timothy, he said, Timothy, stop drinking holy water. Take a little bit of wine for your stomach, because he had a stomach ailment. So it's not a bad thing, but they should not be given too much wine. And if you want to know the scriptures on do not get drunk, if you're taking notes, Romans 13 verse 13 clearly says it. Galatians 5 verse 21 clearly says it. And Ephesians 5 18 clearly says it. But there's this thing of like when you, as a deacon, what role model, what are you modeling? When you're out in the world. And especially today, today's society, we've got to be so careful. For me, I know where my line is. You will probably never see me with a beer in my hand. I'm not putting that on anybody else. That's for me. I've had about 3 beers this year. At a closed braai with a family member. To be honest, I just don't like the taste of beer. Just being honest. I don't like the taste of alcohol. I've never have. The Lord, for some reason, I just didn't like it. For some guys, I know. For them, alcohol is a no-go zone because of their past. So for deacons, do not be given to much wine, much alcohol. Have a wine. It's fine. But watch yourself. You know the Holy Spirit will tell you where that line is. not greedy for dishonest gain. And this is where it says, if a person is a lover of money, he is not qualified to be a deacon, especially since deacons often handle financial matters in the church. Not a lover of money. Dishonest gain. You know, the Bible speaks about bribes. Do not trust the man that takes a bribe. The Bible is very clear about that. Sound in faith and in life. Paul writes here to the deacons, it says, it's hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. This phrase, the mystery of the faith, is a way that Paul writing says, a clear conscience. You know what is right. You know the faith. You know what God is teaching. You know the ways of God. You are full of faith. You, when you do things, you do it not because you have to, but you do it out of faith, out of a relationship with the Lord. There's a clear conscience in everything that you do. But it's the mystery of faith. So this, don't get mystical. There's nothing new. Okay? If it's, there's this phrase. If it's new, it's wrong. And if it's old, it's right. I don't know. There's someone can maybe look up. I know Andrew uses it often. He says, if someone comes up with a new revelation, probably not of the Lord. Because nothing is new. Nothing is new. We understand the devil's schemes. So, but for us, it's holding the mysteries of the faith. And that mystery, actually, what Paul wrote about here, was the mystery that the gospel is for the Gentiles. That's the mystery that he was writing about. So we understand that's what he said. The deacons are those that hold that mystery, that can be able to go and take it out. And we'll look at that as well. The next one is blameless. Paul, he obviously writes here, he says, that deacons must be tested first. Let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Now, blameless is quite an interesting word. Who of you are blameless? It's a hard thing to say I'm blameless, eh? I don't know if I can say I'm blameless right now. Is there like a question mark over some areas of my life? Possibly. Do I want to be blameless? Yes. The question I ask myself at least every second day is, what is God convicting me of right now? I ask myself that question every second day. Because if I haven't felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, have I drifted from the Lord? So for us, to be blameless is that short account of sin. Short account. Something happens. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Okay, I'm blameless again. Walk. I shouted at my wife for no reason. Okay, sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. Walk. Kick the dog. Sorry, Lord. Okay. This morning, I'll confess, I was driving here. I was a little bit late for setup. Our community was on setup duty, so I was a little bit late because I had to finish everything. I was like, my family was here already. Came around the corner, and there's these two cyclists, roadies. The one's in the yellow lane, and the other one is like halfway in the road. And I'm like driving, and I'm like, there's a car coming from the front, and I'm overtaking. As I overtake, I hoot at the guy, saying, bro, move out the way, you know? As I drive past, the Lord I just feel like, oh, Lord, you're Mike. Sorry, Mike. It wasn't Mike. Mike was on worship. I was just like, oh, man. And in my head, I went like, freak, man, this guy must ride in the yellow lane. Why is he riding in the middle of the lane? These cyclists always do it. They always think that, you know? Don't lie. Who of you thought those thoughts? 1.5 meters. What the freak? You know how far 1.5 meters are, you know? I'm going to have an accident if I drive 1.5 meters over them. Over them. Sorry, Lord. Okay. If I drive around them. Yeah. Don't drive over them. Okay. You will get in trouble. But as I went past them, I just felt like, what am I doing? Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Because my heart is just wicked. But blameless. Do we want to be those that are blameless? And I think that's the heart that we carry as elders and as deacons. We want to live our lives short accounts. We want to make sure that there's no question marks over our lives. And I want to give us an illustration. And it's quite a tough illustration for us. And I think this is where the weightiness of this call comes in so well. I met with Chart this week after putting up his photo this last Sunday, just going, and all of us rejoicing, Chart and Zandri, they're coming on as deacons. And someone in the week just brought something. They said, hey, saw Chart's photo up there. And we say, let them be tested. We say, guys, if you know anything about them, come talk to us. Because a person's character is more important than the role or the gift that they have in church. And working it through, wrestling with it for a day or two, struggling to sleep that night, going like, Lord, what are you doing? Contacted Charty and I said, Chart, let's go have lunch. And just chatting it through, and it's not drug, sex, and rock and roll. Just want to put that out there, okay? So don't think. There was just this question mark in terms of work situations. Some stuff that happened at work, some stuff. And again, we never want to be a stumbling block for anybody. And the phrase that someone used was, if that unsaved person in your job comes into church and they see Chart being ordained, what would they say? And I met with Chart and I said, Chart, this is it. You know what I loved about this man? Not once did he defend himself. Not once did he say, but. He said, Pari, I hear you. I can give you my side of the story. And I said, please do. And I heard. Because as I was sitting, I was literally typing out the message to the office and say, hey guys, we're going to pause on Chart. While I'm typing out the message, Holy Spirit just dropped in my heart. He said, just listen to Chart's side of the story. And again, so we are pausing on Chart. It's not a no. But I realized the immense weight and the gravity of how God sees his church. Not just that, how God sees this man and the calling and the plan and the purposes that he has for him. That he's even willing to say, let's pause. Always behind your name, there's never a full stop. You've never arrived. You've never made so many mistakes that there's a full stop. It's always a comma. God is a redemptive God. God is a God that wants us to come in the more. God is a God that wants life to come out of it. But it's a holy thing to serve in the house of God and to lead people. So spoke it through to Chart, going through, and we're still going to have some meetings after this because we are those that want to see everybody coming to the fullness. The Bible says being perfect, blameless. Those are big words. And Jesus said that's how we need to live. So to illustrate to us this thing is that, yes, we announce Chart, and he's the first one. Come stand here with me, Bri. He's the first one that just said, hey, can we just pause? I want to pause because I don't want a question mark over my life. That's what his words. And I love that. And the reason why we bring it to you guys, because what did they do back then? If we want to have what they had, if we want to see a great multiplication, if we want to see this town get turned upside down, this hall be full of people worshiping our King, we've got to build the way that they built and do what they did. And we don't take these things lightly. For his sake and for our sake, we're pausing. Just on Chart. It's not a full stop. Probably going to come on in September when we bring on more deacons and elders. But there's going to be a time of just going, does that change anything he does right now? No way. Still leading a community. He's still overseeing here. He's still running flat out for the Lord. He's involved in youth, everything. Nothing changes in the role. But it's going, Lord, how do we work through things in his life so that he can become everything that you want to be? Can I be honest with you guys? It happened to me. I was a deacon and I was disciplined off deaconship because I stole something. Another story for another time. Next week. To be continued. But do you guys understand the gravity of what we're doing? You know, church is a place full of life. Church is a place where people's lives get changed, where people come into the more that God had for them. We're not living for this short little time on earth to to just do our thing, go for a job. What we do matters. And men and women like Chart that lay down their lives and just go, it's not about a title. It's about how I live for the Lord. So the qualifications of deacons, it's important. And that's how we want to live, because this young man is going to lead many of us one day into the things of the Lord. God is more interested in his character now than just the title. Okay. Can we stretch out our hands to him quickly? Yeah. Lord, I want to thank you for Chart, God. I want to thank you for a man that is full of faith, Lord, that is full of wisdom, God, that wants to serve you with everything inside of him, Lord. And just as we look at deacons and we look at and just this week processing, God, just the things in his life, Lord, we are excited to see what you're going to do, God. We're excited to see how you are going to increase in his life and how he's going to run for you even further, Lord, because of this moment in his life, God. Lord, we want to pray and just thank you, God, that there's not a black mark on him. It's not a negative, it's a positive. That you, those who you love, Lord, you say that you discipline. And this is not a discipline, it's just a pause, God. But even that, you love him so much, God, that you would say, wait, let's work through this. So, Lord, let him even be an example in this time, God, of each one of us, God, how we live our lives, what we do, how we live, God. It's important for you and it's important to us, God. So we honor him, we bless him this morning, God, and we just thank you for charting our lives, Lord, and for what he's doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. So we see building church is important. Your life matters. Can we quickly close our eyes? I want to end. The whole morning, it's just been a sense of God just in our lives and just building and putting in, you know, adjusting and our hearts being opened. And, you know, for some people, there might be in a cut this morning. For some people, there might be just an adjustment in the way that you think about things and the way you see church and the way you understand Jesus. And even that in worship where I said Jesus coming and just laying down his life for us, serving us. Know that Jesus came for every single one of you. And you being here this morning is not by chance. You being here this morning is a morning where God ordained it because he loves you. And I've got a sense this morning that there's some of us here that's been searching. You've been running to other things. Because there's a void in you that you're trying to find what God wants you to do. You're trying to find the thing that God made you. I've been talking about purpose and plan and God knowing you even before you were formed in your mother's womb. And I've got a sense this morning that for some of us, God is reaching out this morning and saying, I have got a plan and a purpose for your life. I've called you. I sent my son to die on a cross for you, to take away all your sin, to make you blameless in front of me. To make you perfect in front of me. And that could be a process, but there's a moment in God that we realize, God, I don't have you in my life. If I die today, what is going to happen to me? Where am I going to? Am I going to see you for eternity, or am I going to be in hell for eternity? And don't be fooled. There is hell and there is life. And God says today, choose, decide today what you will choose, life or death. And every eye is closed, and I want to give guys the opportunity this morning. And you know God is busy talking to you, because right now your heart is pounding in your chest and your palms are like sweaty, you know, like you're getting like nervous and you're going like, Lord, I know you're busy talking and you're calling, and that is the Holy Spirit just over your life. And many people here praying just over your life, just calling you and saying, come, come, I love you. I've got a purpose and a plan for your life. The Bible says in Romans that just at the right time, the Son of Man died on the cross for your sin, to take everything that you've done upon him. And that you have got free access now to God if you choose him. So while every eye is closed, in a minute or so, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and just say, listen, that is me. I want to take that first step. I just want to respond today you're right, that is me. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to take that first step and say, I am a sinner. I recognize that. I'm not blameless. I'm not clean. My house is shifty and unstable. But this morning, I want Jesus to come into my life. And I want to walk this road out with him and learn what it is to be a Christian and to walk with other men and women to know that God has called me. And if that is you, now every eye is closed, can you slip up your hand? Can you just say, that's me? That's me this morning. I want to know this Jesus better. I want to know this one that I can see people's lives are devoted to, poured out. They live for him. And don't let the devil steal that moment. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Even if you've got to make right, even if you've drifted from the Lord, and just this morning, as those adjustments and as those words came, you realize, God, you're not the Lord and the Savior of my life. So one last time, you this morning want to put up your hand and just say, pray for me. Can you pray for me? I want to know Jesus. I want to surrender my life to him, that he'll become the Lord and the Savior of my life. Is there anyone else? Thank you. So let's just keep our eyes closed. I'm just sensing in God not to call anyone out or do anything, but you know that you've lifted your hand, or in your heart you went, God, that's me this morning. And I just want to lead us in a simple prayer. But I want to ask you this. Can you talk to someone that you came with? Can you mention to them and say, hey, that was me? Because the thing the devil wants to do is try and keep you in darkness. But God is saying, come into the light as he is in the light. And you can live for him. So can all of us, can we say this? Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that you are my Savior. Will you forgive me my sin? Will you cleanse me and purify me? Can you take my sin as far as the east is from the west? And help me to follow you in everything. In Jesus' name.